Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Lounge Radio Show, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we welcome our host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru.
And thank you for tuning in to the season finale of the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show and podcast. I am your host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru. The mission of our show is to expose the myths of entrepreneurship and help you release the weight of it all. That means that we have to address issues that hinder your success or have the potential to do that. And since season one is a wrap, I thought one of the best gifts I can give you is to conclude with the best lessons from our global experts, those that have graced us with their presence during this first season. And I'm even having one of them join us tonight to help me share in the reviews and the million-dollar nuggets that we've really had been exposed to this whole season. And I'm going to introduce her right now. Saudia White, the founder of Eyes Wide Open, Empowering People Globally, is a best-selling author, unconventional speaker, community activist, and most importantly, a generational survivor. Through her animated She-Ro, Amazing Amazon, Saudia White reaches new heights as a fearless heroine who shines a light on confidence and unconditional love as the way to turn on our light of purpose. So please join me in welcoming back to the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show and podcast, Mrs. Saudia White. And Saudia, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. Amazing.
I love it. Yeah, we got to put that part in. You know, I cannot complain. I am hyped. You know, as I was going over the shows, you know, there's so many nuggets just per episode that it's really hard to take a certain selection. But, you know, how else could we end the season finale without doing that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to definitely end off with a solid bang. And I believe with this show, they're going to get just that. A lot of awesome nuggets today. A lot of awesome nuggets.
Yes. And I'm so glad you're back so you can help me weigh in and share the most important takeaways from these global experts. You know, that shared in with our listening audience this season. Plus, it's a great time to reflect and refocus and catch up. So if you missed the episode, certainly this will be the motivation for you to go back and, you know, take some lessons, review, for you to go to that next level in your entrepreneurial journey. So the first episode that we started off with, amazing. And the title was The Hustle Does Not Have to Be a Grind. Because so often you hear, you know, got to be on the hustling ground. I'm out there hustling. Honey, I'm grinding. And one of the most powerful takeaways was that misconception that entrepreneurs have. You know, one of our featured guests, Mrs. Charlita Harvey, who's the CEO of Design Your Thoughts, Learning and Development Coaching, directed our attention to the definition of the word grind. And to grind is to reduce something to small particles or powder by crushing it or pulverizing it. And I love what she said, is that why you build a business? And, you know, I thought about that. You know, you're not building something for either yourself or the business to just be pulverized and disintegrate into small particles. So personally, Charlita Harvey's insight was a self-check moment for me, you know, to analyze my actions, my mindset, both professionally and personally, and I had to ask myself the question, you know, was I working to exhaustion to follow the status quo of constant movement, constant actions that were not strategically aligned and were more of a distraction or hindrance on the road to success? What were your thoughts on that takeaway, Saudia?
You know, once I heard it initially, I said, well, I'm always on my grind. You know, because we use that. Uh-huh. That's the terminology that we always use. And that's something that
yes.
I use frequently. I'm like, well, I don't know. Let me weigh in. Let me listen to this a little bit more. And when she broke that, right, and it stated pulverizing and crushing, those two words right there stood out. It's like, oh, man, am I pulverizing and crushing my dreams, my visions, my goals? What am I really putting out there in the atmosphere? Because our words speak power over our life. And
yes.
Am I diminishing my business? Is this where I want to be, to diminish myself? Do I want to grind myself to the ground? Do I always want to be grinding? You know, do I want to pulverize or crush? So I started thinking about those words, and I said, wow, that is such a great insight as to what a word could really mean and the detriment it could put upon one's physical and emotional thoughts going through, especially as entrepreneurs. So reducing
Absolutely.
It. You know, do I want to reduce myself? No, I don't want to reduce myself. I want to have great strengths and be, you know, I'm bold and be encouraged all the time. So grinding, after that episode, I have a whole new profound perspective as to what that really means in my life and why I would use it. So I stopped using that word grind. I no longer say grind. I don't use it. And it's because of this episode that I had to really rethink the way that that word has been used and what I'm putting out there in the atmosphere upon myself, okay? So because, again, words speak power over our life.
Yes, they do.
And I don't want to be a bit exhausted.
Yes, they do.
You know? We should not be exhausted. Exhaustion turns into what? Stress, I heard him say. I don't want that. I don't want to be exhausted as an entrepreneur. I don't want to not be able to get the proper rest that I need, and I'm always grinding myself to a pebble. Who wants to reduce themselves to a pebble? I don't want to do that. No. Mm-mm.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And you know
Alicia,
that.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, Alicia, that was one of the most powerful episodes I've heard in reference to how we relate to ourselves. The hustle does not have to be a grind. You know, that was really powerful, a powerful insight for me.
I'll be transparent. That episode started from just a private conversation between me and Charlita Harvey. And I was just like, you know, at the time we were planning the podcast and coming back on the airwaves under my own brand as a podcast host. And I was like, oh, God, that has to be the first show. If we're going to do a show devoted to entrepreneurs, that's got to be it. Could you come and speak on it? And, of course, she was paired with the amazing Letitia Bates to have the two of them together. And, you know, she's the mindset coach for this show. I have personally been life coached by her. She has an entire platform, book series, just so many nuggets that you can get from Letitia Bates. You'll also hear her commercial later. But to have the two of them together, the synergy in that show and the nuggets they gave, because really everything comes down to our mindset. And sometimes there are limiting thoughts that we've been conditioned in our environment. There's things, especially for newer entrepreneurs, this is what is the status quo. And, you know, that grinding versus hustling, whoa. So you may be doing things that appear to be right and everybody else is doing it, but you don't enter entrepreneurship to, A, be the status quo or like everybody else. And sometimes things everybody's doing isn't the right thing for you. So, you know, sometimes we really have to be reminded, think about what you're saying. Think about your vision. Check, are you in alignment? And that was a powerful show for you to do that. So, you know, those of you that listen to that show, go back. You know, different seasons. I think that's one of those shows that probably quarterly, if not at least twice a year, you really need to check into to make sure you're in alignment and look at your business. Now, our next $1 million nugget comes from James Oliver Jr., which is the founder of WeMontage. and awesome, awesome author. But also, he raised over $435,000 for his company. He auditioned for Shark Tank. He has received national media exposure on shows like The Today Show, Good Morning America, and he's also been referenced in The Wall Street Journal. So he was our feature expert on the episode, Are You Ready to Pay the Cost to Be the Boss? And he was very transparent on how he garnered that media attention. And he definitely revealed to us how it wasn't as complicated as we're often taught. So that is the episode. You know, we always talk about exposure, talk about we want recognition. But if you really want someone just to go in with you and say, do this, 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 do this, 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 that's your episode to listen to. Because he was very transparent on how he does what he does. And it definitely wasn't, you know, it was a team of this and a team of this, and he knew all of these people. He made it very simple for the everyday person to be able to follow his footsteps with some of the things he's done. And, Saudi, I know we had a great discussion after that show about what he said. What was the most impactful to you?
I like that he stated, first of all, James Oliver Jr., he's amazing for all of the things that he has put in place. And he makes it seem so, he made it seem reachable. And that's what I like. Right. I like that he was able to break it down to us. One of the best things that I took from that was how he did how he explained about crowdfunding. And he stated that you don't have to do things. He said, don't do things that don't scale. That was a huge takeaway for me. Don't do things that don't scale. Because as entrepreneurs, sometimes we do a lot of things that don't have any weight for our business, you know, for us to bring in the necessary, what's the word I'm looking for, we're not bringing in our net worth. Because we're not we're doing things that don't scale and don't make sense for our business. You know, he talked about PR lining up in advance, having your PR lined up in advance for crowdfunding, your family and your friends to contribute to what you're doing with crowdfunding, having a compelling video. I mean, just small things that we could put in place prior to, because sometimes we want the money, we're asking for these people to venture in with us and come in and give their money, and it's like, who did we really ask? We're putting together something and we didn't really do any marketing about anything. We're just thinking like, okay, we're going to get on Facebook and we're going to put this thing out here and we're going to get the notoriety that we need, and we'll be seen by those that need to see us, and they're going to automatically be compelled to buy what we have. Well, that's not necessarily so. Look how many times he said he went up and he did Shark Tank and he had to get in front of people and different things like that, and it was like a constant thing. It wasn't one time. You know, he had to do these things over and over again, and he put out some great nuggets. You know, go to your family and friends. Let them know what you're doing. Have a list of names of people that you can, you think that you can depend on, and try to get their commitment before you put out, you know, do your crowdfunding. And that's the biggest thing that I took from that, is before you do your crowdfunding, already have your list lined up and go to those people prior to get their commitment. See, once you get their commitment, because you don't want to have a crowdfunding page and you only raise $10 out of $400, $500, $1,000. It doesn't look good. And even if you have that compelling product, something that is noteworthy, when a person sees that, it's like, well, they only have 10, 20 bucks here. Why am I really going to donate my money? Who is this person that they can't even get their family and their friends to back? And that's something that was really noteworthy for me. He's a really outstanding young man. We Montage. I'm founder of We Montage. He's on it. So
yeah,
I think that people really need to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. They do. I just saw on his social media where he had a meeting, I want to say, with Home Depot. So he's really, over the years, has done so much to expand that brand. And definitely one of the things you see, if we're going to talk about hustling, you know, it's not just, oh, he's been on the Today Show a couple times. He's been on this. He's been quoted here. It doesn't stop there. You know, just because you were on Shark Tank doesn't mean instant success. You still have to work. You know, you have the exposure.
Right.
You got to work it.
And that's
so where's the next scalable part?
Look, being on the show didn't get him the deal that he would have liked. He had to get out there and whip. Now, he had to hustle. He wasn't grinding himself into the ground. He was hustling. He was out there putting himself in front of noteworthy people and sharing his story over and over and over and over again. And I believe that's one of the big takeaways that entrepreneurs can need to know, that you can't just get in front of a person once or twice. You really have to be in their face, put your product in their face, and tell and share your story and tell your story over and over again. Because the first 30 or so times, people may not get it. You may have to, it may
That's
take
true.
That 50th time for that person to really see your product and see your vision. You have to keep at it. You don't take no for an answer, entrepreneurs.
Amen. And I want to tell you, and this isn't just a upsell or whatever, you know, of course, if we put the shows together, they're a value and you need to listen. But one of the things, I'll give you a secret now, you want to go back and listen to that episode, Are You Ready to Pay the Cost to Be the Boss? Because one of the other secrets that James Oliver Jr. tells you, which is one of the ways I was connected to him and continue to follow his story, is he almost lost his shirt. His biggest financial loss that almost derailed the company came from a very well-known couponing system. Okay, I'm not going to tell you the name, but a well-known company that some entrepreneurs have used, thinking, oh, with that exposure, if I offer these discount deals where people can pay this much, but get this much value of product, that will really spike up my customer base and increase our revenue. And he did it, and he almost lost his shirt. So make sure you tune into the episode to find out what company we're talking about, what move he made, because some of you may be visioning that it's the next sales step, and it may not be the best step for you. So the next golden nugget comes from our most listened episode titled, believe it or not, Taking the Fear Out of Entrepreneurship. Go figure. We actually were blessed with two phenomenal experts. Yeah, because, you know, there's no fear in entrepreneurship. Not. We had two phenomenal experts. The first one being Dr. Anthony Miles, who's a nationally known startup and marketing expert. He has been featured in nationally syndicated media outlets such as ABC News, CBS News, Fox News, NBC News, and Forbes. And he was invited to Harvard University by the Harvard Business School and spoken around the country as one of the most notably schools being at Stanford University. So the knowledge he shared was second to none, and he had a special offer for our listeners to be able to contact him and take advantage of. So again, someone that's at you, you want to listen to the episode so you can get his contact information and reach out to him for that offer to propel your business. And that was Taking the Fear Out of Entrepreneurship. But our second guest for that night was Dwayne DeVille, and he made such a huge impression on me because he was diagnosed with kidney cancer. And that was his wake-up call and let him know that he didn't want to continue with his day-to-day business as he knew it. He felt led to incorporate his life and his passion for riding motorcycles into his business. So when you're at that crossroads or you're at that time where, you know, here's my business, but I want to take a risk or I want to change something and I'm questioning how to do that, he made a list, put a line in the middle. On the left-hand side, he put the things that he was really passionate about. And on the right-hand side, he put the things that he could do but wasn't really passionate about it. And, you know, some of us have things we're passionate about, and then we have other things we do well. You may even make a great deal of money off of those things, but they may not necessarily be your passion. So I'm going to let you listen to that episode for all the details. But that show was definitely a reminder to my own experience of how your life and health can change in an instant and have a major impact on your business. So you have to make sure that what you're building is something you're truly passionate about and you love. It's just not purely profit driven or money and greed is what is your focus. Fabia, what was your thoughts on that episode?
Oh, my goodness. That episode was truly, truly an impactful one for me, especially as an entrepreneur and someone who has had personal life health struggles, and not to the impact of Mr. DeVille, because this man who was diagnosed with kidney cancer, and he uses that. This is what compelled me about his story. He stated that he took his health, he took what he was experienced as his from his health problem, and he applied his business approach to his health situation. And
yeah.
I couldn't imagine even thinking, you know, when you're sick and you're going through something on a physical health level, who would think to apply a business approach to how he deals with his business to his health situation, which he's not going to give up. And he doesn't
right.
believe in failure. He doesn't believe in failure. He's a go-getter. And his whole momentum was run to the problem, not away from it. And that was
yeah.
so, that for me was a drive right home, because I've experienced a lot of health issues, and I could have stopped, but I didn't. I continued forward. But most people, there are some people who they will let a life situation turn them away from their visions and their goals. And Mr. DeVille clearly is not that man. He has taken his personal and his business situation, and he's implied it to an approach, a business approach that's amazing to me. You know, on your darkest
right.
time, dealing with cancer, and you're still able to push through and get it done.
I will
now,
say this.
How awesome is that? How awesome is that?
So I was going to say, that's the power of a man.
Yeah.
You know, that is why God gave us both sexes. That is the power of a man, because male, and I'm not stereotyping, but men think tactically. You know, a lot of times as females, we are emotion driven, and there's a place for both. But men think tact-wise. So they're just bam, bam. So I could see a man more so than a female thinking, you know, on that, okay, I'm going to apply the business approach to this situation. And when he said
yes.
that, I'm like you. I was like, whoa, okay.
That blew me away, Alicia. Alicia, that blew me away. And the fact of the matter is, you know, one of the things that he said, no decision is 100% wrong. He said, you might be 80% wrong, and 20%, he said, focus on the 20%. Focus on that 20% and
yes.
fix that. You might be 80% right, I'm sorry, and focus on the 20% that is not right and fix that. Fix that.
Exactly.
Don't worry about getting it 100%. Focus on that 20% that isn't right. Because sometimes overall we try to overcompensate for the things that we may have gotten wrong. And when he said that he doesn't believe in failure, at first I said, what do you mean you don't believe in failure? And
right.
he said, I don't believe in failure because I don't believe that we've ever failed. You have to go through something. I had to understand that. You know, I had to replay that. I kept saying, you don't believe in
yes.
failure. But in life we fail. No, in life we have experience. experiences, and we can take those experiences and turn them into a positive experience. If we didn't get the right outcome the first time, isn't that we failed at what we did? It's just that we didn't get that outcome that we desired to get, or we thought we were going to get, so we do it again. But guess what? We've had the experience the first time, so now we can do it again, and we can do it differently. So stop looking at yourself as a failure. You understand? I love Mr. DeVille. I love it, Alicia. I love that.
Yes, absolutely. And for our listeners, as you can see, it's all about your mindset. It's all about what you choose to focus on, how you think about things. So sometimes in the situation, we just need to refocus, or we just need to change our mind, change what we're setting mm-hmm. our mind on, which is why these episodes are so important. But right now, we're going to pause for the calls. We're going to take a quick commercial break. So make sure that you stay tuned, because there are some more juicy nuggets to share, including our conversations about alcoholism, trauma, profit maximization, and even a Hollywood actress, writer, and producer who we featured. So stay tuned to the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show and podcast, and we will be right back.
The reason that people don't want to deal with what's holding them back is because it does not feel good to look back. So the easier thing to do is to live in what I call your condition zone. It's not a comfort zone because it doesn't make you comfortable. You're just familiar with it.
Letitia Bates, Certified Life Coach.
So I'm always working with my clients to meet them at their needs. I am listening to where they are. I do have to help them move to that next level, but we're going to go slow, and what they can expect from me is kindness, respect, and compassion.
Go to atthewheelcoaching.com and start driving your life back to higher ground.
What I help you do is understand anything that you've gone through, you've already survived. That's why you're here. And we can work together to deal with those uneasy feelings and help you move forward.
Go now to atthewheelcoaching.com.
Do you have a book idea that is so amazing that not only could it solve world peace, but it would be the perfect solution to everyone's problem, and it would make you a millionaire overnight? I mean, do you have this idea that would be the world's next bestseller, and everyone needs to read it? Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but no such book idea exists, nor ever will. This is Alicia Brown, the CEO of Fruition Publishing Concierge Services. What I can tell you is the book idea that you have is the perfect solution for someone who's desperately searching for it. But first, your book needs to be done. So visit us today at Fruition Publishing Concierge Services, which is at fruitionpublishing.com, where we'll show you how to take your concept from vision to fruition. It's time to get her done. fruitionpublishing.com.
And welcome back to the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru, and I am joined with one of our former featured guests, best-selling author, unconventional speaker, and community activist, Miss Saudia White. But before we continue on, especially since we're going to get into some of those sensitive topics such as trauma and abuse, I want to just share the following show disclaimer.
This show, our social media accounts, and any related content offered is done in the hopes of bringing enlightenment and awareness to our listeners. They are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate in any way any disease or condition, or to promote any specific lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practice. Always seek the advice of a qualified health or clinical professional with any questions you may have. Never disregard professional help or medical advice, or delay in seeking it because of something you have read in our content or heard on this show.
So we've taken care of that disclaimer, and now that we have, Saudia, what is our next million-dollar nugget for our listening audience.
Wow. Thank you, Alicia, for inviting me back. And I'm enjoying reflecting on the experts' knowledge provided from the previous shows. I enjoy listening to Nadia Sahari on the episode titled From Trauma to Wealth, The Global Story. Wow. Of course,
yes.
As a generational survivor, I agreed on many points she shared and on how family and cultural norms are often connected to child abuse and trauma. She definitely highlighted what I, as a speaker, share with audience on how abuse is a global problem and our acceptance is what results in the abuse rate, which is so high, and how human trafficking is such an epidemic. You know, Alicia, another takeaway from Nadia that is so near and dear to my heart is when she said that if it wasn't for God, she would be dead. That right there resonated with my spirit because when I wasn't truly healed until I found my connection with God and I could forgive the trauma that I suffered as a child. And I knew that if it wasn't my connection with him, that it would have taken me, you know, I probably wouldn't be here today. So the pain and trauma experienced by many abuse survivors, especially from an early age, cuts so deep and torments your very soul that it can produce a downhill spiral if not properly treated, Alicia.
That is so true. And you know, if people have listened to this show previously, if you followed my Joy Guru platform or read any of my books, you know this is near and dear in my heart. Because as a child abuse survivor, as someone that, you know, all through my childhood and teen years, you know, the only solution I saw for escape was suicide. So it was heavily contemplated. And the thing is, the power in that is when people share their story. You know, we're all, you, I, Nadia, we're all authors. We all have different platforms. Nadia is a serial entrepreneur as well as a Hollywood actress, writer, producer. So she uses her influence to shed light on these issues and causes. And everyone listening has a certain measure of influence that she or he can use to make a ripple effect in this world for the good. So, you know, those are things we need to think about. And you know, both of us as speakers are very transparent, but we also understand the importance of being at a certain place in your life. You know, certainly when you share, it can, if you're not in a certain place, open up those wounds. It can be almost like toxic. So you want to make sure that, you know, you feel free, you feel healed enough to share your story. But at the same time, you also don't want to inflict pain upon people. One of the things I believe in is you can share the story, but make sure you have resources there. So if I'm at a speaking engagement where I'm talking about my story or talking about suicide prevention, I want a specialist there, someone in the mental health field, someone that has some resources for suicide prevention. Because, you know, when you talk about these things, it does trigger people.
Yes,
and also can heal people. So we have to be responsible in the sharing of our story. But the main thing that I say also with that is knowing you have the right to share. Some people are so shameful. They're embarrassed. And, you know, abuse is something that's not your fault. You didn't cause this. I don't care what other people say. You didn't cause this. You didn't bring this on yourself. You didn't ask for this. But you're the one that's responsible for getting well, for taking the steps to try to seek the help that you need. So part of that is owning your story. You can share your story.
Absolutely.
And in a way that helps other people.
You know, one of the biggest things with Nadia Sahari, her experiences date back so long ago when we didn't even know about human trafficking. And for her to have had, this is something that's really prevalent and that's going on right now, but she experienced that years ago. human trafficking has been going on for decades, and we're just now getting the profound impact behind it. And one of the greatest things that I saw within her story is how she prevailed from being Lebanese, coming from another country, coming into the States, and still making it to where she is today. How powerful is that, Alicia? I mean, this woman has been through so much abuse sexually, physically, mentally. You know, we, like you just said, we oftentimes are ashamed of what we've been through. I mean, being an abuse survivor myself, I had to really connect within myself so that I can share my story and no longer be ashamed about the things that I went through and experienced. So I feel as though there are a lot of women out there who have, and recently, and I'll tell you, Alicia, just really quick, recently at an event that I was at, I was speaking with a most powerful person, a political figure, and she stated that she also had a story of abuse, but did not have she could not tell her mother about what she experienced in her past. How traumatical is that to carry that weight around for all those years? How many of us, men and women, are carrying around this weight that's suppressing us inside, and we're going along and we're walking through this trauma and not really receiving the healing that we need, and oftentimes really ashamed that we went through something like this. So I applaud Nadia Sahari and her resiliency, her bravery, just to be as strong as she is, to continue to endure and motivate others to come out and be as brave as she has been. And what you said, make sure that there is someone that you can connect with in the end, a doctor, a therapist, someone that you can seek out, an organization that deals with trauma. That's something that's really necessary. A lot of us don't feel that we should seek help, but we need to.
Yeah.
Talking about our trauma is necessary for our survival.
Yes. And, you know, it's not one thing about the show. We don't do these episodes for controversy. You know, some people will pick topics just because you think they're controversial. We pick topics because we believe they're necessary. Because the truth is, your business is you. As the entrepreneur, as the CEO, as the thought leader, as the executive, you're the driving force of your business. So that means everything that concerns you, if you're carrying these secrets, this shame, whether you believe it or not, it will display itself in your business, whether it's your limiting thoughts, whether it's not asking for the sale, whether it's you approach the environment in a timid fashion, like you're almost asking permission to do things. It shows up in ways you can't imagine. And then when you're dealing with trauma and abuse and it's not dealt with, it also affects your health. So, of course, we know as entrepreneurs, your health is everything. When that visionary is not saying you don't have health is your wealth. So you may have an awesome staff that can run the show without you, but you are the visionary. So the business will always have a certain cost. It's a certain loss there if you're not at optimum. So we're trying to help you in the various aspects of your life as a business owner to release the weight of it all. But another great episode, favor of mine. Speaking of all of us as authors, including Nadia, another episode that was a favor of mine was titled From the Military to Essence Magazine, Creating a Writing Platform That Pays. And I'm a little biased, admittedly, because she's one of my clients, but I love author Carol G. She is amazing, former military. First of all, she's funny. I've never met someone that can talk about different life issues and they're serious and they're thought-provoking. But she makes you laugh about them. She has that gifted humor. But in this episode, she listed ways that she makes money and she also garners media attention. You know, I will never forget when she told me that one of her articles is published in Essence magazine, okay? And that wasn't her first magazine that she's been featured in, but Essence. And I'm going, okay, well, what episode? And she sends me the picture, or not what episode, what issue? And I, like, freaked out because her article was in the magazine for Hidden Figures. So not only did they have one cover, when Hidden Figures was coming out, they had, I think, three different covers because it was one with all the ladies together. Then there was individual covers of that issue of Essence. And, of course, because your article is in the one where they're featuring the Hidden Figures women, actors, and, you know, that movie was hot. It's like they had, like, three or four different covers. I'm like, if there was a time for you to have an article in that magazine, that was it. And, of course,
absolutely,
it was Essence. So she gave some great tips of things she's doing, not just, you know, as my client or I'm setting up for her, but things that she's also doing for free to garner attention and make money. And she told you step by step. So those that are writing a book, thinking about writing a book, you have a couple books already, you want to increase your platform, your exposure, you want to increase your income, make sure you listen to that episode from the military to Essence Magazine, creating a writing platform that pays. But I know, Ms. Saudia, you have another one of our favorite episodes from someone that I was just talking to last night.
Well, of course, Alicia, one of my favorite episodes featured our dear funny friend, Zach Miller, titled Anomaly, How to Finally Stand Out from the Crowd. That, however, is also the title of his book, which I recommend that if you haven't picked up Anomaly, How to Finally Stand Out from the Crowd, that is an entrepreneurial read. And it's for a person who's not an entrepreneur, if you want to learn how to stand out on your job, your career, this is, I recommend that every entrepreneur read it, but every individual who is just listening as a listener who has a career, read it as well. But Zach is a true character, Alicia. You know I love Zach Miller. I learned a lot from him different workshops of his. And he is just, to me, he is definitely the anomaly, okay? He has a way of bringing such a cool guy character into his business world, which separates him from the ones who are suit wearing, and you know, you see them with the tie and the suit and they're walking in and they just look like, yes, I'm business professional and this is me and here I am. That comes in hair wild, t-shirt, jeans. And he's just that. So for me, when I first met him, I said, I was expecting for him to be in a suit and a tie, and you know, I walked in all dressed up basically, and I'm thinking that, okay, you know, maybe I'm overdressed, because when I saw Zach, I'm like, oh my God, I'm overdressed.
Yeah.
But he has a way of really making you feel comfortable and letting you know that you don't have to be the norm in your business. Standing out is definitely the way. Do something different. Take it to a different level. Don't send out the basic email. He's gotten me on a couple of his emails, by the way. I mean, he will grab you with a title. Like, you know, and I'm not saying this is one of his titles, but just to say, does your dog fly? Like, you know, you want to open that email. You're like, does your dog fly?
Right.
What's
that got to do with...
Right, what is this? So he will grab you with just one of those funny titles with his in his subject description for email, which will implore you to want to open it and read more about what he has going on. And just the fact that he loves wrestling, he's a big fan of it. He doesn't hide that. He does things differently with his pictures and his videos. He's just that guy that definitely stands out and you want to know more about a Zach Miller. Like, what makes him tick? What is he thinking about today? What is he going to say to us today? He really grabs your attention. You know, Lisa, like, when I first met him and he started talking, and then I think he did something during one of his workshops where he stood there and he looked at us. And he just stood there and he just looked.
He wouldn't say a word. And we're like almost roasting him, and he just not changed his facial structure. He didn't laugh, nothing. I'm like, wow. I got to learn how to do that. That's a good poker face.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is,
you know?
Yeah, total Zach, and that's Zach with a K and not an H. So he can't even be normal with the spelling of his first name. But he makes it simple. He makes it, you know, it's simple, it's effective. He definitely gets your attention, but not with this weird, you know, some people would do that and it would all be a characterization. And then it's like, when you get to know the person, oh, that's a character. No, that's just really him. But it's not in that marketing, salesy way where I'm just blowing smoke up in the air and nothing you say to me really makes any difference. It's like, it's a good stick, but it doesn't make sense. But his, it's like when he says it, I got your attention. And then what he tells you, as simplistic as it sounds, it's like game changer. Like, oh, my goodness, yeah, that is totally what the status quo does. And, yeah, it isn't working. And you mean, yeah, that does make sense. You should do this and this instead. So it's like those things, going back to basics, the things we should know, but some kind of way we've been conditioned to do it another way, and it's not working. So he really gives you those strategies to be the anomaly, you know, how to really stand out from that crowd. And that's what I was telling him yesterday. It's like, you know what, I need to go back and read the book again. And I said that, and I was just serious, because it's one of those books, you read it, he has a lot of steps, he has things for you to follow to do, and you see the results. But it's one of those things you really want to go back and dissect, and you want to go back and dissect again. And then if you apply them, you know, you're seeing this happening in your business and this growth, and then it's like, okay, now you're ready for this over here. Maybe you didn't pay much attention to that if you did this first thing that you need to do. So very good read, very well written out, step-by-step, action things you can do, not complicated, not over your head, but definitely something that you want to read over and over again, sort of like a checkpoint for the pulse of your business.
Absolutely.
And if you go back and listen to that episode, Anomaly, How to Finally Stand Out from the Crowd, which is actually the name of his book as well, if you listen to the episode, he told you how you can download the first chapter for free. Because, you know, my guests are themom.com, so they're always giving you free stuff and free resources for listening. So I don't pay them to do that, but I thank them for doing it. But another episode, a subject that I felt was so vital for us to discuss and spotlight, was titled, Are Social Drinking and Drug Use Ruining Your Success? When You've Gone Too Far. And I thought it was important because the statistics suggest that roughly half of all alcoholics, listen to this, meet the criteria for high-functioning alcoholism, which means they can maintain a career, support their family, have a strong social network, all while drinking to access in secret. And furthermore, research shows that entrepreneurs experience more anxiety and stress than other workers, which puts them at a higher risk for mood disorders and substance abuse. Researchers have found that many entrepreneurs share certain character traits like high energy, motivation, and creativity that predispose them to mood swings, strong emotional states, and possibly even addiction. So you can see the relationship here. And alcoholism expert and award-winning author Lisa Boucher serves as our featured guest for that episode. Now, as a registered nurse and also the child of an alcoholic, and she is 29 years sober, she's able to spot potential alcoholism in kids as young as 7. So she believes that childhood is the birthplace of addiction, and she knows that from her own experience. And she says that doctors help perpetuate addiction by misdiagnosing, and our drinking culture creates alcoholics. And I know one thing I'll say that was a takeaway for me, and I think it was actually just a reminder, because sometimes, especially in the business world, and we even see it, you know, in corporate world, you know, we're going out for drinks, okay? Let's say we're going to happy hour. A lot of times that's how you, you know, it's a stress reliever. Hey, after work, it's been a rough work week or a rough day, let's go out to the happy hour. Cheap food, cheap booze. Okay, well, what about the person that's a recovering alcoholic? You may not know that. And they may just say no. And then people put, oh, man, come on, we'll talk. So sometimes they'll go, sometimes they may not. But then the drinks come. Hey, man, what you drinking? No, I don't want to. Oh, come on, man, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And you don't mean it, you know, in a bad way. But we have that culture that encourages people. You know, everybody wants to be a part. Everybody wants to go with what everybody else is doing. You don't want to be the party pooper. But sometimes, innocently, you might be encouraging someone that has a problem to engage in activity. So, you know, I love some of the things she said at that show, even the sensitivity in our environment as far as what children see. But, Saudia, I want to get your thoughts, because I know that there's a lot that you experience, not only as a generational abuse survivor, but also being a former member of a law enforcement. And I will say, you started your career as part of NYPD, so not just law enforcement, but NYPD law enforcement. That's another different level. So what were your thoughts on that episode?
Absolutely, Alicia. That episode, another really, really impactful episode, especially resonating with me in my life. As a law enforcement officer, and because I am a generational survivor, I did do a lot of drinking, even while I was on the force. And there is a lot of police officers, a lot of law enforcement officers that are alcoholics. Silently, we don't discuss that, but there are a lot, they're dealing with a lot of different trauma, whether it be from the trauma that they've seen on the streets, what they are dealing with, whether it be from the trauma in their lives, because as law enforcement officers, you know, we carry a lot of weight on us, and it's very difficult sometimes for us to digest the things that we've seen on a daily basis. And for me, not only did I entered law enforcement to save lives, and yes, while doing that, I also entered law enforcement knowing that I was someone who came from a traumatic life as a child. And that was something that caught, it was like my calling. I want to save a life. I don't want another child to go through what I went through. And if I can save a person or save someone from that, how do I do that? But also within that, that's a lot of weight on a person.
Yes.
And what did I do? Turn to alcohol. I turned to alcohol, you know, to deal with the everyday stresses of what I went through as a child and what I was seeing in the streets. So it's really tough to serve your community and know that, you know, and on a social norm as law enforcement officers, that's what we did to unwind. So like you just said, we're taking people in. Hey, meet me at Houlihan's after work. That was one of the places that we would go in New York, a place called Houlihan's. You know, meet me at Houlihan's after work. Let's unwind. Let's get a couple of drinks and blah, blah, blah. But you're not thinking about, does this person have a drinking problem? You know, sometimes we push that cultural drinking as a norm, and it's really an issue. You know, should we really be going, you know what I mean? Should we really be going to an after-hours place drinking to unwind? Is there a better way to do that? I had to find a better way. I would tell you, yes, there is a better way. You know, so yes, this episode itself was truly powerful and impactful. I encourage all people, not just entrepreneurs, but all people to listen to this episode, especially as an entrepreneur with the stresses that we deal with on an everyday basis. Some entrepreneurs turn to that, to a drink. Uh-huh. That's how they want to unwind.
And I'll give you another scenario. I'm not sure if I said in the episode or not. I know I've said it in other platforms, but I know as someone that with chronic illness, the opioid situation. I understood there's an epidemic, but statistics show alcoholism has been a bigger problem than opioids and still is. But, I know as someone that deals with chronic pain, you're prescribed different things, narcotics, for your pain. Mm-hmm. And depending on the severity of it, you actually need those narcotics. Well, I was in the trap of when the opioid epidemic came out, now they're taking back all of those, narcotics, don't care how chronic your condition. A lot of times it was hard to go to your doctor and get the pain medicine that you actually need. Now, fortunately, I wasn't a person that had to take narcotics every single day, but certain flare-ups, certain things, I needed those things, and they weren't easy to get. So I will tell you, that is a slippery slope that a lot of people turn to alcoholism or create the beginning of alcoholism. Because if you need something to dull the pain and certain medications, either the strength or medicine you can't get anymore, there's different things you do to try to still numb the pain. I have seen, and it was really scary to me. I don't know who did it. It was a news story. But people at that time, and I think it might still be the issue, the only place you could get it was like, let's say you had like, you went to an oral surgeon to remove or extract a tooth, then you could go they prescribe certain narcotics. So there are people that were knocking out their tooth or causing teeth issues. It was like people were doing whatever because I understood they were trying to address the opioid issue. But some of the other things they were trying to do in place of it was just not good. So sometimes it's not, it may not be that you go out to after hours, you stay away from bars, you don't drink or you don't have that issue. But let's say there's a health issue. Let's say that there's a change in something. Let's say you suffer from a bout of depression. You would be surprised how these different life changes and circumstances, people pick up alcohol or that's why we also say it's drug use a problem because it's not that, I'm saying people are going out smoking crack. You might have an illegal drug issue, but you might have a prescription-based drug issue too that's affecting your business. So that was a great episode to really go back and listen to. Listen to whether that is your problem or whether it's something in your business and environment. You need to be more sensitive to the other needs of people. Not that you need to spot if they have an alcohol problem or ask them is that in their past, but just being sensitive to know that statistically someone's in the room that this may be a touchy subject for. So due diligence. Maybe we don't need to plan things at bars. Maybe we don't need to have corporate functions where we bring in alcohol or whatever, or maybe we just need to bring in things where there's choices, where people aren't, pressured or forced to feel like I have to do this or do this, because again, happy hours, a lot of times, I said in the episode conferences, when I first started going to different business conferences, I was just appalled at the number of people that just were sloppy drunk.
Right. And you know what, Alicia, just to touch bases on that, I've been on both ends of the spectrum, from being a law enforcement officer, addicted to opioids as well, and that was something huge in my life that I had to go through because I never had a history of opioid addiction before. But once I became disabled as a law enforcement officer, that's all I could be codependent on was the opioids that my doctors put me on, and after which I became addicted to it. So between that and trying to encourage myself to become to be an entrepreneur and be a successful entrepreneur, I'm fighting a battle here of opioid addiction as well as an alcohol addiction. So there were several different things going on there. And I will tell you that what you just said with the opioids, it's a huge battle, and it's a twofold situation, because there are people who need opioids to cope, and there are people who abuse opioids to cope. So it is a slippery slope. You definitely have to look at, you know, the environments of one's condition and what they're going through in their life, and hopefully and prayerfully the doctors are communicating with one another, because that was the issue with my doctors. That's how I became an addict at one point, is because my doctors were not communicating with one another, and they were not looking at the different prescriptions I already had, and I was basically getting double the doses, so much of the same narcotic, which could have been avoided. You understand what I'm saying? They would have been communicating with one another. So,
That's another episode. Go back and listen to that. And, you know, I want to take a moment, or I'll say in just a moment, definitely we want to talk about Sadia's, how you can connect with her and more of her story, because if you didn't listen to that episode, that was one you missed as well. But, of course, I love all of our episodes, but I want to say we don't have enough time to go through all of them. So we didn't, you know, slight any of our global experts, so they all were amazing. But there are other episodes that definitely have a powerful million-dollar nuggets that are going to make the difference to the success of your business. I love the one about a search for identity and truth. And I love when we were able to share the update. We had, you know, the woman known as Monique. And her legal name, I think, Simbali Monique, and we were talking about the fact that this woman had been abducted. And what I loved about her is that she was out here, she was working on behalf of trying to find the missing persons, but she was a missing person herself. And what was amazing, I think, when the show hit, I think it was right after the show hit, come to find out that she now has found her identity. She had made a documentary. Mm-hmm. She was having a screening of that documentary. And somewhere in that process, and we're talking about so many decades have gone by. She was abducted when she was four. So many decades have gone by. Was her mother still living? Was someone still searching for her? Did she have siblings? All of these questions, only for her now to be found. I think the last time, a couple weeks ago, she officially had applied for her birth certificate from New York. She officially was getting her legal name changed. She found out the information about her mother, about who her siblings were. It is a blessing to follow her and to see. She is reconnecting with different siblings, looking at how they look alike and all the questions. You know, the missing pieces are coming together. So that is, you know, another awesome thing about this platform is not only do we get to bring exposure, but when we continue to follow our featured guests and see their growth and their developments. And that was just really a rewarding time for me. And then some of the other episodes to me are just a hoot, but it's like they're necessary. So the episode on is sex or lack thereof ruining your business? That was a very interesting episode. I probably said too much with some of the things I recounted from college knowledge, college exposure. Very interesting episode. And then, of course, we have some CEO talk, which are just my little 15 minutes with you. Quick doses of empowerment catered especially for that entrepreneur and CEO. And I tell you one that was near and dear to my heart, as well as the last episode prior to this one, is depression ruining your business. That expert, my God, the things that she shared. So make sure you visit us at the entrepreneurslounge.info, where you can go back to all the episodes we mentioned. You can go back to some of the ones we didn't get a chance to give you those million-dollar nuggets from. Definitely the episode on how to thrive and not just survive was amazing because we were talking about different topics of different forms of abuse, and we had different featured experts on that episode share their story. And it was right before the book release of my featured guest, who is serving as a guest co-host for this episode. So I want our audience to connect with Mrs. Saudia White. I'm going to give her the floor right now because I want her to share with you her platform, what she does that's near to dear to her heart as an entrepreneur and community activist, and definitely give us some updates on where she's been since that show episode on how to survive, how to thrive and not just survive.
Yes, Alicia, thank you so much for bringing me back on the show and having me as your co-host. I really appreciate that. I'm so humbled by this opportunity. I would just like to say that generational survivors, I am a generational survivor, and I would like for you all to pay attention to that. Go back and replay that How to Survive, Not Just Thrive episode. And also connect with me on Facebook. Generational Survivors is a movement of mine. It's not only a book, but it's a movement. We do have a book. We have Generation Survivors of a Generation Unheard, which is out on Amazon right now. You can get that book on Amazon. You can get that book on Apple. The ebook is out. The hard copy. You can follow me on Instagram at Gen Survivors, GenSurvivors, Survivors, Generational Survivors, the movement on Facebook. Join us in a global movement and trying to change the laws on where, you know, where they take predators. Sometimes we don't share, we often don't come out with our stories. And the reason why, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm just really emotional when it comes to generational survivors. This is my baby right here.
Yes, and not to interrupt you, but I want you to tell them what is a generational survivor.
So, a generational survivor is an individual who grew up in a household that either they witnessed domestic abuse, they were a part of domestic abuse, sexual assault, they were a victim of child molestation, and they grew up in that household. It was a part of their childhood, and it has been a part of their adulthood. Oftentimes, as an individual who has suffered from that sort of abuse, whether witnessing it growing up or being a part of it growing up, as far as being initially a part, being touched by it, they oftentimes grow up and as an adult, and they haven't received the help that they needed, and they're known as generational survivors. It's passed down. Oftentimes it starts from their parents, the mother before them. Like, it started with my mother and her mother before my mother. Her mother was a generational survivor. She was abused in her home. She was molested sexually as a child. My mother also experienced that same sort of trauma, and as did I. I watched my mother being beaten by her abuser, and then that abuser turned on me and sexually molested me, and that's how I became a generational survivor. It is a word that I have coined and trademarked, generational survivors, because there are so many of us out here, and a lot, oftentimes people don't even know that they are a generational survivor. I've spoken to many women and even different radio hosts and hostess that stated after the show, wow, I believe that I am a generational survivor. And it really compels to me of how many women and men who are generational survivors and who have those stories, some who have yet to share those stories with their families, who have yet to come out and say, I was a victim of abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse, child molestation. I was a victim of this growing up, and I never shared it with anyone. you know, and I watched, yes. I watched as my mother or my father abused my mother, or my mother abused another sibling in my household. So it's really detrimental to our health that we speak out against this and we change the laws as to what happens to child molesters. People don't want to have that talk, Alicia. No, you know,
no,
this is
don't.
Not a sexy talk. This is not a
oh,
sexy talk.
It's not.
I met someone, I think I was saying before, that I met one of our politicians, and she stated that she was a victim of child molestation, and she has yet to tell her mother. And to me, I'm like, wow, you're almost, and you know, I don't know how old she's up there in age, and you have.
I believe she's at least in her 60s or early 70s.
Right, and I feel as though that's a shame that you have walked around with this for so many years, and that could be, that could trigger some health issues. Nadine Burke, the California general surgeon. I love Nadine Burke Harris because she speaks to how important it is to identify with the children that are suffering with trauma and how that can affect that child as an adult growing up later on a physical level, how illness and childhood disease are developed from a childhood trauma. See, we don't want to talk about things like that. Some of the
let me tell
that
you
I'm
how powerful that is. Yes. No, make sure you say that because I want you to share that, the illnesses that you suffer today.
Some of the illnesses that I suffer today have been found to be from my childhood trauma. And that's what Nadine Burke Harris identifies with. Our childhood trauma can cause some of the illnesses that we suffer from today. My bipolarism, I suffer from bipolarism. I was diagnosed with that. That's a mental illness. I suffer with having diabetes. She speaks about that. She speaks about your high blood pressure conditions that you would think were brought about because of your environmental stresses, but could have been brought about because of a childhood trauma that wasn't corrected at an early age, or you didn't receive the help that you needed. And I didn't receive any help at the age, the age that I was when I was abused. Even after I told my story, I still didn't receive any help. So I carried that stress, which causes it harbors a lot of ailment towards your body, you know, physical.
And that, yes. That was one of the things as a nonprofit board member, you know, I deal with a lot of programs with children. And then as well as my own personal testimony of my child abuse experiences. So when the opportunity came to, take some training on what Nadine Burke scientifically talks about as ACEs. You'll hear people say ACEs, and they're called adverse childhood experiences. So targeting those children from age 0 to 8, if that child has experienced trauma, whether they're the victim of trauma, whether they witness it, or in some cases they're being raised by someone who has been an alcoholic or has had trauma. So it's a combination of things. They don't even have to be a victim. They could just be raised by someone who was.
They could just witness it in their household.
They could witness it. Or they may not have witnessed it at all. They may not have witnessed any trauma. They may have been raised by someone that did. So I want the listeners to understand the full scope of this. If, especially children from 0 to 8 years old, that's a very impressionable time. Those are the formative years. Things that a lot of us are looking as we get older that we have. You know, a lot of times it's that, well, that's in your genes. You know, mama had it, big mama had it, and then so-and-so had it. But the scientific research is showing that it may not just be your genes that's the culprit. It may have been these things, these adverse childhood experiences. I mean, things as simple as arthritis and asthma. You know, how many kids you know that have asthma? How many people do you know that maybe have bronchitis or they have this? It may be something so simple. Doesn't even have to be diabetes or arthritis. And you're looking and going, how in the world is that connected? It is. And it's frightening.
It is.
So that's why we bring exposure to things like this. Because when we talk about entrepreneurship and releasing the weight of it all, each one of us is just the sum total of our experiences. So there are
Absolutely.
All type of things that are playing a part in your success. And there are different factors, if they're not addressed or dealt with, can also be hindrances. So we are here. We just want to bring exposure to you, give you those resources, let you know that you're not alone in these things. You know, entrepreneurial journey has ups and downs, but it can be a glorious thing. It can be a wonderful endeavor, but you cannot do it without support. So we're just blessed in any shape and form to bring you that information that's helpful to you, that enlightens you, and really helps you be able to get back on the trajectory of success that you've envisioned and that you desire. So one more time as we're wrapping up, Shawdia, can you tell them the website where they can find you so that way they can get all your links? They can stay connected to you, see recent developments. I know sometimes when we give people different social media things, they may not remember, but where is the website that they can go and find out everything about you and your upcoming events and developments?
Well, if they type in, if you all please go to thegenerationnosurvivors.com. Remember, that's you put the in front of there, and that's generationalsurvivors.com. So you'll be able to find a lot of information on that website, as well as following us on Facebook at Generational Survivors, and that's an S at the end of that. Please remember to put Generational Survivors, and also on Twitter at Gen Survivors. That's G-E-N Survivors with an S at the end. And again, the website is thegenerationalsurvivors.com. And, you know, you'll be able to pick up a wealth of information, especially with the book that we have out, which is a compilation of women's stories of abuse and just being able to survive, the boldness and the bravery that it took these women to write their stories and come out with this. You can find that on Amazon on both the hard copy form and the ebook form titled Survivors of a Generation Unheard, Stories of Generational Survivors. So please pick up your book today, people, please.
Awesome. So, Shawdia, definitely, of course, thank you for being our very special guest co-host today and bringing, you know, your energy, your wisdom as well, with those million-dollar nuggets.
Thank you, Lisa.
Our listeners. Oh, absolutely. You've heard thegenerationalsurvivors.com, so make sure you go there and connect with her, connect to upcoming developments, get the book, find out what's, you know, on the horizon, follow her on social media. And then we thank you for tuning in, and we invite you to continue to follow the show at theentrepreneurslounge.info. Currently, we air every first and third Thursday of the month, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, you know you can find us where most major podcasts are, including our Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Anchor, Spotify, just to name a few. But if you go to theentrepreneurslounge.info, you'll have all the links for the past episodes, and you can listen to them at your leisure. And make sure you share that with friends. You can also follow me, your host, at thejoyguru.net for motivation, inspiration, and all things joy. So, as always, until next time, bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Entrepreneur's Lounge, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. Make sure you stay tuned to our Facebook page and thejoyguru.net for show updates, announcements, and to learn how you can be a guest on our show.